Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush. Big bro, little bro, a ditch.
Aw, Chuck. That warms my heart.
Hello, little bro.
Hey, big bro.
What makes you think you're a little bro?
Good question. I do have the deeper voice.
Because you just... You should tell everyone what you just said.
Oh, I just said my girlfriend listens to the show, and she says she enjoys our dynamic and classified it as a big bro, little bro sitch.
Yeah?
And she thought it was fun.
Well, Noel, I'm the baby. I've never had a little brother. Will you be my little brother?
I'll absolutely be your little brother. You know I'm an only child, Chuck.
Oh, so you've never
Did
had any
brother.
Did
you not know this about me?
Yeah, yeah. I knew that about
okay,
you.
Okay, well, that's a thing.
This is like the scene in Boogie Nights where Roller Girl and Amber Waves are all coked up talking about, will you be my mom?
Oh, no. That's not the same thing at all.
Because we're not coked up. We're just moderately coked.
That's true. And you
not
know,
fully coked up.
You'd be a great mom, Chuck. Have I ever told you that?
I'm a pretty good mom.
Yeah.
That's funny. I feel like a lot of you guys are little brothers in a way because I've known you for less time, but still a while now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a minute.
But, you know, Casey and Paul and Maddie and those guys, I've known those guys for many, many years.
You've known me longer than you've known Paul, Chuck.
And I have, no, that's not true.
It is true.
Really?
Yes.
I thought Paul started before
no,
you.
No, I got Paul the job.
I want to doubt you, Noel, but...
You don't gaslight me, Chuck.
Well, Paul just reeks of little brother.
He does.
So maybe that's what it is.
He does.
And I have a... I've long desired, not desired, I've long relished. Relished? What the fuck is wrong?
Relished is right.
What does relished mean?
It just means enjoyed.
Yeah, okay.
Experienced with
I've long
joie de vivre.
The role of mentor and have tried to do that with a lot of those guys. But you're older, so I don't feel like a mentor to you.
Are you going to keep insulting me?
You've already got it all figured out.
Are you going to keep insulting me today, Chuck?
I'm not insulting you. Older is insulting?
I don't know.
You've already figured out your own way, Noel.
That's
your,
fair.
Your daughter is older than mine.
It's true, Chuck. It's true. For a little background, though, Chuck, Paul and I worked together at a terrible, terrible place, and I left there to come here, and then I kind of rescued him from there to come here. So
how
that's
does it feel like Paul was just always around?
I don't know, but it hurts me. I can tell you that. This, what am I, chopped liver?
Well, Noel, it's beginning to look a lot like Mini Crush.
Yeah.
Christmas episodes.
It must be October 31st.
Yeah, that's true.
Ugh.
Now, these next couple, we're going to concentrate on some holiday content. And, of course, I say Christmas because I was born a good Christian boy.
What happened?
Well, I think that's well documented.
That's true.
But we certainly don't want to forget about our Jewish friends and our agnostic friends and our demon Satanist friends and people who don't participate in Christmas at all.
Yeah. Kwanzaa?
Sure. Hopefully this time of year, at least you're spending time with friends and family.
That's important.
So I just don't want to feel like I'm excluding folks.
I don't know. I'm a big proponent of, you know, a holiday break. But I like the idea of making it more secular, you know? And that's why when politicians get all up in arms about, they're killing Christmas!
Oh, come on.
It's like, give
no
me
one's
a break.
Killing Christmas.
It's just an overly...
Christmas is stronger than ever.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you know, it's such a commercial holiday anyway. Like, any religious aspect of it has sort of been drained out anyway just by, like, corporate, you know... end of rant.
Piles of Amazon boxes.
There
on your
you
porch.
Go. Well, that's yeah, man, dude. Speaking of piles of Amazon boxes, you ever just walked around New York City? I know you have.
Mm-hmm.
They like get everything. The groceries delivered through Amazon now, so it's like Amazon boxes are just everywhere. It's crazy.
Taking over the city.
Taking over
Amazing.
The city.
Yeah. Well, you know, the war on Christmas. It's just part of that fear mongering.
That's what they call it.
Garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happens in a certain sector of this country. That just really pisses me off. Just no need for it, man.
It's no need.
Make people afraid.
I saw
that trailer for the Fox News movie.
Looks fun.
It's coming out, and they said, and this was, I saw it in a book as well, maybe it wasn't in the movie, I can't remember, but one of the former higher ups there said, I think the rule of thumb was, something that'll make your grandfather angry and make your grandmother scared. And that's a Fox News story.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's right. I remember from the trailer. I saw it before Knives Out over the Thanksgiving holiday. And my daughter was with us, and she didn't know. She just knows Fox News bad. Mm-hmm. She didn't know anything about any of the players or sort of about sexual harassment and stuff, so it was a little over her head.
Right.
But Billie Eilish's Bad Guy is in the soundtrack for the trailer. So.
Is that a song?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Billie Eilish. She goes, I'm the bad guy. And she goes, duh.
She says duh. And
she goes, duh. Yeah.
Oh, that's for the kids.
They love it. I like it, actually.
Did you see the Van Halen dust up that happened?
Yeah.
And did you see how Wolfgang Van Halen handled it? It was great.
Well, he's like, what's the issue? It's a non-issue.
Backstory, if you didn't hear, Billie Eilish was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
And he asked her about certain modern or older groups, and he asked her about Van Halen. She said, who's that? And a bunch of old Van Halen fans kind of attacked her on Twitter. And Wolfgang Van Halen came out, and he said,
why do you call him Wolfgang? His name's Eddie, is it not?
That's funny.
What?
Wolfgang Van Halen, the bass player, Eddie Van Halen's son.
Oh. Oh, okay. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
He plays bass for Van Halen. Come on, Billie Eilish.
What happened to the other guy that played bass for Van Halen?
Michael Anthony hadn't been in the band in many, many years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
His Eddie Van Halen's son replaced him on bass many years
ago. Hey, listen. I know Wolfgang, the reference. I mean, like, because he had his signature guitar was called the Wolfgang.
Sure.
I remember that.
Named after his son.
Is that true?
Yes.
You don't think he named his son after the guitar?
No, the guitar came later. Okay. It's like you coming after Paul.
That's fair. Please continue.
And he put on Twitter, he said, you know, if you don't know about Billie Eilish, you should listen to her because she's cool.
She is.
If you don't know about Van Halen, you should listen because we're cool.
Right.
And he said, music is not supposed to divide people.
No.
It's supposed to bring us all together. Listen to what you like.
Yeah, man. And the trolls just jump on that shit. You know?
He handled it really well. I was very, very proud of Wolfie.
She's 17.
Why do you keep saying Wolfgang?
I thought you were referring to
good God.
No, right, my daughter doesn't know who Van Halen is. But she knows who a lot of 80s artists. She knows who Kate Bush is. But she doesn't know who Van Halen is because I'm not a Van Halen guy.
Right.
So,
well,
there
which
you
is
go.
Distressing. We'll play her and yourself Unchained and just talk to me later.
Hot for Teacher. I like that one.
All right. We're going to go with the Christmas content. We're going to get going here because today, as this is released, is December 16th, Noel. And we're going to do a little tribute to a movie called Elf that has fast become perhaps my favorite Christmas movie.
I've never seen it.
I think we covered this last year.
Yeah.
You've really not seen Elf still?
No. I've seen some choice scenes.
And what's the deal? You just didn't get around to it, or are you fighting it at this point?
I'm not fighting it. It's just...
Is there any reason? Do you like Will Ferrell? Do you like comedies?
Ferrell?
Do you like to laugh? Do you like John
Favreau? No, I hate all of those things.
Do you like
I hate comedy.
Do you like James Caan?
I hate to
Do you
laugh.
Like Mary Steenburgen?
I hate happiness.
Do you like Zooey Deschanel?
I'm mainly anti-happiness, Chuck. I'm not a big Christmas movie guy, first of all, so maybe that's a disconnect there.
All right.
I watched Step Brothers the other day. I'd never seen that. And
that's
not
a Christmas movie.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying I'm not anyway.
You're trying to prove that you laugh in life.
I have one, at least once I've laughed.
Does your daughter watch Christmas movies or do you ban them in the household?
I am a totalitarian dictator-like head of household, and there's no dancing or fun or Christmas or candy.
No, I'm just trying to dig in a little here, Noel.
I know. I get what you're doing. I see what you're doing, Chuck.
Well, let me say this. If you want to watch a funny, genuinely very, very funny film, Elf is the one.
Okay.
It is legit super, super funny. Very good movie. 2003, directed by Jon Favreau, of course, written by David Barenboim. Smash hit, inspired a Broadway musical. Initially, Barenboim wrote it in 1993 with Jim Carrey in mind. So I'm going to
Barenboim wrote it?
No.
What did you say?
David Barenboim.
Oh, I thought you said Barenboim. The comedian. You know the comedian Barenboim?
Yeah, sure.
He's great.
He actually warmed up for Stuff You Should Know one time.
He's very funny.
We did Tig Notaro's festival. And they said, hey, we always have a warm-up comedian. I was like, well, we've never had one.
Yeah.
They said, well, would you mind if Barenboim went up there and told jokes?
That's an honor. That guy is hilarious.
No, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's a very nice guy. I'd love to get him on the show. So we're going to go through some trivia. Then I asked the movie crushers what their favorite parts of that film were. And they responded in spades because normal people love that movie. All right. Well, here's some trivia first. And this is going to spoil things for you, Noel, because Will Ferrell eats spaghetti with maple syrup.
See that? I don't know about that part.
And he really did it, and he vomited.
Oh, that's...
In real life.
So wait, is it just spaghetti noodles with maple syrup, or is there a tomato situation involved as well?
Just the noodles with the maple syrup.
Okay.
Yes, no tomato sauce involved.
Okay. Well, that's less...
It supplanted the tomato sauce.
A little less gross.
He drinks a 2-liter of Coca-Cola and has an epic belch. That belch was real from voice actor Maurice LaMarche, who you might know as Brain of Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, he did the belch.
He did the belch.
He did the belch.
He absolutely did. Jon Favreau voices the narwhal in the stop motion animation scene, the director.
Gosh.
A lot of the movie was shot in an abandoned mental hospital.
Why?
Which is kind of
funny.
Isn't
it in an office building?
I mean, there is an office building.
What's the abandoned?
Interior sets for the apartment, the toy department.
Oh.
And there's a prison scene. But they shot it at Riverview Hospital, where they have shot X-Files, Jennifer's Body,
I see.
Final Destination.
So they just set decked it out to make it
yeah,
appear.
I mean, it serves as a studio.
It's its own thing.
But it's very funny if you see Elf to think about it being an abandoned mental
that
hospital.
That is pretty funny.
Let me
Psychiatric
see
Institute, if you will, Chuck, please.
Will Ferrell's brother played one of the security guards.
I didn't know Will Ferrell had a brother.
Is he in
show business, or was this
I don't think so.
Okay.
And this is for all of the Ghostbusters fans. The apartment that James Caan lives in, Buddy's dad, the exterior is the same apartment that Dana Barrett lived in Ghostbusters.
Now, is that the building that ends up being the spooky building in Ghostbusters, like where with the Zool situation on the roof?
Yeah.
That's the iconic.
I think that happened in her apartment.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. Because that's where What's-His-Face lives, too.
That's an iconic building in New York's skyline. It's a thing. People point out it's the Ghostbusters building when you're
walking around.
Very
much iconic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And now we are going to read some of the Movie Crusher's favorite lines. These will be lost on you because you have never seen Elf.
Yeah. Most of these references that you're dropping – I didn't know there was an animated sequel. I know a little bit. I know about the part where he gets on the – isn't there like a Peter Dinklage is in it and he gets on the table and yells at people?
Yeah.
That happens.
He plays a book publisher.
Right.
And he uses a lot of practical effects. Like you dig it. He homages many Christmas films, including the Rankin Bass stop motion animation.
I love that.
So he uses practical effects. He uses – instead of CGI – because the whole gag is he's an elf that's 6'4" or whatever.
Right, and an adult.
Well, sure.
Well, so semi. I guess he's sort of in a state of arrested development.
But the rest of the elves are adults too, but they're small. But he didn't CGI that. He used forced perspective and built these cool sets.
Oh, like Hobbit style.
Yeah. Well, I would know about that, but sure.
You've heard. You are familiar with the very popular franchise of films, The Lord of the Rings. Yes,
I have.
And, known
Hobbit
for its
style.
Use of practical effects.
So, Alicia Dietz says, when he tries to put the star on top of the tree by springboarding off the couch and jumping like it's a trampoline. Good one. Jennifer Mudge, old friend, says, you did it. Congratulations. World's best cup of coffee. Good job, everyone. Am I spoiling all this for you?
Well, I guess.
Because
I mean,
you don't care, though, right?
I don't know. I kind of care. I like comedy.
Do you want to leave the room?
No.
For the next 10 minutes?
No, this is good. This just gives me more reasons to, like, now I want to be a part of these refs, you know, for next year.
Hey, it's all out there for you.
For next year.
Aaron Snell says, when Zooey Deschanel sings in the shower, I never knew she had the voice of an angel.
What is she? Is she some sort of publishing agent?
No, she is a department store elf.
Oh, that's right.
That helps, you know, kids with Santa Claus.
I can't believe how unfamiliar with this movie I am. It's sad.
Oh, you just got to see it.
I will.
Krista Mora, bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. We say it all the time, and my son got an inflatable narwhal, so it gets said even more often.
So wait, so is the idea that Santa Claus is the father of all the elves or just Buddy?
I don't know if he's the father of the elves necessarily. But they all work for Santa.
But he's saying your dad.
You know how Christmas works.
Find your dad. Santa's not his dad. Who's his dad supposed to be? Is that a different thing?
All right. Elf
ahead.
Is a story.
Yeah. Uh huh.
About Will Ferrell being this giant elf.
Got it.
Who is not really an elf. He's a human.
Ah.
He was born of human.
Oh.
That's why he doesn't fit in. That's why he's tall.
How did he end up? Okay, go on.
And he goes to in search of his real father, who it turns
out into the
to
real
be
world.
James Caan,
yes,
in New York City.
Got it. Okay, this is all clicking for me now.
Heartwarming stuff ensues. Laughs galore.
Got it.
And that's Elf.
Okay, cool. Okay.
John Millsap, old friend, says, my brother and I always say to each other, thanks, Mr. Narwhal, all the time. See, people quote this thing, Noel. It's in the zeitgeist.
Are narwhals like Arctic creatures?
You know, I don't know. I don't think we've done a podcast on those yet.
Interesting.
They're little whales with horns.
That's the idea. They're sort of mystical sea creatures.
Yeah.
That's sort of the joke here, I guess, right?
I think so. I don't think you see narwhals a lot. They may be deep livers.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
They could probably skewer you with that horn, though.
Sure. I don't think they're mean.
No.
I mean, if you are a squid, they might.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Make a little kebab. Squid kebab?
Mm-hmm.
Deanne Pitts has a great line. It's just nice to meet another human who shares my affinity for elf culture. Another fan of Zooey Deschanel singing. That's Heidi Laumann. Kira Hawkins. I'm in a store and I'm singing. It's great. Megan Carroll's favorite line. I like whispering, too. She quotes that all the time.
Oh.
It's so funny, Noel.
A little ASMR.
Julie Detmeyer says, son of a nutcracker. It's a great saying any time of the year and safe to say around kids.
What is this? Is this a PG-rated film?
It may be G.
Interesting.
I mean, there's really...
Sounds like there's potentially a little body humor.
Maybe.
Not even really. Let's see.
I don't know. Check that out. Fact check that, Noel. Catherine Brenneck says
PG.
All the spaghetti scenes.
PG.
PG?
Yeah.
I guess you really, for G, you got to.
Right.
You can't even have like one dick joke.
No. It's dick free. That's what G.
Oh,
G
boy.
Equals dick free. PG, yeah, I don't know. Like the rating system has sort of got a little hazy over the years, I think, you know?
Yeah.
I guess in favor of, I don't know. PG-13 now is almost like what R used to be.
Maybe. Like I don't know the rules. Like how many fucks you can have.
That's sort of the point. Like there was an episode of Adam Ruins Everything where he talks about the MPAA and how it's ultimately very arbitrary, where like sex gets you a hard R instantly,
right.
But like violence is totally fine.
Sure.
And that's literally a philosophical debate, you know, and you don't know who's on the MPAA. That's all kind of like a mystery.
Yeah, and they have they've made people do very weird things to movies to give it a pass.
Right, right.
Like 10% less blood spatter and stuff
whatever,
like that.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah. We did a great episode on the MPAA a while ago.
I'll have to check that one out.
It was good. Highly recommended. Mike Doyle says, oh, I don't know, Connie. I've never declawed kittens before. How many? 8? Just bring them by the camper. I'll see what I can do. The great Amy Sedaris.
I love her.
Dylan Thomas, I'm 26 years old. I got nothing to show for it. So that's one of the jokes in the movie that apparently the studio did not get. There's a guy who looks like he's 50 years old,
yeah,
and he says he's 26, and that's the joke. And the studio gave a note that was like, he's clearly not 26. And Jon Favreau had to say, that's the joke.
Right.
Which anytime you're explaining a joke,
God,
it means you've lost a battle.
Jon Favreau is such a maverick. He's such an interesting, very versatile guy.
Are you up on Mandalorian?
I am, and I love it.
I am one episode behind. Haven't seen last week's.
It's good.
Are you up on Watchmen?
Even better. I adore it. I think it's fantastic.
What episode are they on? Do you know?
I think it's 6.
6? I think I just watched 4 last night.
Oh, it just gets better and more batshit.
4, a.k.a. the Downtown Decatur, Georgia episode.
Right, with the clock thing. Yeah, it's great.
Iberian Pig.
Oh, the Iberian Pig. They don't even like – usually they block out the business names or change them to something.
It looked
it's
weird
all
enough.
Straight. It's great.
I texted Ken Jennings because I took him to eat there. I was like, you watching The Watchmen?
Yeah.
It's like, that's where we ate.
That's where we ate.
Yeah.
Really quickly, though, just a plug. There is a Watchmen, official Watchmen podcast that HBO puts out.
It's good?
It's fantastic. It's with Craig Mazin, who's the host, who was the creator of Chernobyl, another fantastic HBO show, and every episode is him and Lindelof, and they do episodes 1 through 3 in one episode, and 3 through 6 in one, and then
what are they talking about? The making of it?
No, they're just talking about everything, like insights into the actions of the characters and, you know, a lot of the comparisons between the source material and, like, how they ended up, you know, how he ended up conceiving of this world, because it's like he had such reverence for the original Watchmen. It was like a game changer for him creatively when he was a kid. And so he had to, like, revere that source material while also creating something new. And his whole – the way he describes it is like, oh, yeah, this was the guy that should have done this, and he's doing it so well.
Okay.
Really, really, really happy with the show.
I'm going to have to listen to that. I love it. It's not Christmassy, but I love it.
No, it's not.
Let's do a couple more here. Jim Winepress says, eating the cotton balls.
Winepress.
In the doctor's office.
I like that.
I like that, too.
Good name.
Connor Elliott, watching James Caan lift up that lingerie in his office gets me every time. That is funny. What I think my favorite line is, my finger has a heartbeat, which doesn't make sense to you.
Nope.
Nope. He gets a blood test. They prick his finger.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, my finger has a heartbeat, because you know how it can,
it
like,
pulses.
Throb.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very funny. And that's the delight of the film, is the – it's just so sweet.
Gosh, it sounds great, Chuck. It just sounds like a real Christmas miracle.
Get out. Just leave. All right. And we're going to finish up today with best Christmas gifts. Ask the Facebook community just that question, Noel. It's impossible for them to screw this one up. Karen Dromboski says, a Costco membership, in all seriousness. Not romantic or nostalgic, but man, is it useful.
So just to clarify, are these like the best Christmas gifts you would wish to receive or historically best Christmas gifts
that
you have received? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I think so. This is not a wish list. Brett Wellstead says, I remember getting a Sony CD Walkman for Christmas one year. Anti-skip protection, cassette player adapter so I could play it in my pickup truck. Those were the days. Tom Rhodes, Nintendo Entertainment System, 1988.
Yep.
That was the gift that year.
I had a Christmas. I was younger, but I had an older cousin that got one.
Yeah.
And I was allowed to play it or whatever.
How old were you in 88?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 5.
Okay. That's old enough to.
Yeah, I was counting on my fingers, Chuck. That's right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Shame me.
I didn't have to point that out. It was audibly into a microphone.
No, but I was actually ticking my fingers by as well.
Oh, I counted my fingers.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I was 5.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got it. Our old pal, Kristen Bitsagai, when she was a teenager, she thought she was going to be the next great American novelist and begged her parents for a desk for a quiet writing spot. But I was positive they weren't going to get me one. I'd never been so happy before to get a piece of particle board furniture.
How'd the writing turn out?
I don't know. Kristen, are you still writing? You should, even if you don't do anything with it.
I thought she was going to say she asked for like a typewriter or something.
I thought that's where I was going.
Yeah.
Or she was going. I got a roll top desk when I was a kid and I loved it.
What makes it a roll top? Is it that thing that covers the stuff that's underneath?
Yeah, a roll top desk is a regular kind of hutch like desk. And it has a top that you pull down,
mm-hmm. and,
or you
sound.
Can hide away, and it makes that
exact
sound.
Because it's got slats, kind of, little individual slats.
Our old buddy Aaron Cooper is back, and he says, my brother and I got matching Huffy Vortex bikes one year.
I got a Huffy.
Both of which were at completely different stores, and the only two in town. We begged for them all year. My dear sweet mom saved up for months and made it happen.
I wonder what made it a Vortex.
He still has it.
I got a Huffy, and that was probably going to be my best Christmas.
Oh, really? The Huffy bike?
Yeah, but I don't remember the model, though. But I want to see what a Huffy Vortex
is. I couldn't get a Huffy. We were poor kids. No, we weren't poor. My dad was an elementary school principal, so we were fine. But we could not get things like Huffies and Mongooses. We got the Sears versions.
Well, I will say this, Chuck. The Huffy Vortex from 1987 is a pretty dope-looking bike.
Yeah.
It's got, like, rims almost, like you see on those cars.
Oh,
like,
whoa. I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
They're, like, star-shaped, and they're inside of the wheel.
Yeah,
and,
those were called – I think they were called mags.
Okay. Let's see.
Mag wheels.
It says
okay. – Oh, boy. That's even more – Mag. No, those are even different than I've seen.
Yeah. Pretty cool, though, huh?
Yeah. The cool thing to get was the sort of hard plastic mag wheels instead of spokes. But this is even beyond that.
These look like sheriff stars, kind of, that you know. And then the gear, it's a single gear, it looks like, and it's uncovered, so it's super, like, you know, shiny and jagged looking.
Yeah.
And then it's got the big handlebars. The big kind of like almost like a, what do you call those? Like on a motorcycle where they're kind of up higher than the seat. Almost,
a penny farthing? You
know? A penny for your what?
A chopper?
Oh, yeah.
A chopper?
It's a chopper.
Those are the mags I was talking about.
Yeah, similar. These are like almost like, yeah, like beefed up mags.
It does look like a sheriff's star.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sheriff Cooper. Nice work.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you still got that thing in your basement.
That is pretty cool.
Our old friend Jane Jenneb says, a dear friend knew that I had awful holidays as a child. I didn't decorate for Christmas due to bad memories. Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that, Jane. He surprised me by buying and setting up a Christmas tree for me and decorating my house with holiday cheer. One of the most thoughtful things anyone has ever done for me. That is lovely.
That is nice. I'm kind of bummed. My mom, you know, has always taken a lot of pride in decorating her house for Christmas. And this year we're not doing Christmas there. She's coming up here and she's a little bit of a drama queen. So she's saying things like, well, I guess when this will be the first year I don't decorate for Christmas. Mm. I guess it's the beginning of the end for me.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that line of talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Dramatic.
I'm like,
statements.
Mom, why do you have to, like, I'll help you. She's like, no, no.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no,
and
I couldn't.
That.
I couldn't possibly.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I know, I know what you mean, Noel. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a lot.
I'm going to decorate outside this year for the first time.
I think I might do the same.
Not a ton, but
I might just string up some stuff around the porch,
yep,
get some nice outside
That's
lights.
That's what I'm going to do. Maybe our little dogwood tree might get a little love.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. Oldest of friends, Greta Koning, says, my husband surprised me with tickets to Book of Mormon one year. He isn't great with presents or surprises, but this was a good one.
It's supposed to be a real funny show.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, our pal Greta is a singer, like with, I don't know about opera, but I think choral performances and things.
Maybe she's in the Swingle Singers.
What's that?
That's a Christmas group that they do like a cappella. They're not exclusively Christmas, but I believe they do a lot of Christmas a cappella.
That's where they make
very,
their money.
Very polyphonic harmonies and stuff.
Oh.
I don't think it's an ongoing concern. It's like a thing from like the 50s or something. I don't know.
Interesting. You know a lot, Noel.
Oh, thanks, Chuck.
Unless it's about Elf.
That's true. Let's see. Swingle Singers. No, it is ongoing. Yep, sure
that
is.
Sounds like something that would not go
vocal
away.
Group.
Yeah.
The Swingles are a vocal group formed in 1952 in 62 in Paris.
It's like the Whiffen Poofs at Yale.
It's a lot like the Whiffen Poofs. Yep.
John Millsap, one of our oldest pals, says, the Millennium Falcon Lego set, one of the best sets ever.
That's a pricey set.
Is it?
Yeah, all those big guys are pretty pricey. Like the Death Star would be a step above even that one, but I think the Death Star Lego set is like somewhere in the neighborhood of like $300.
Did those come with instructions or are you just supposed to figure it out?
Yeah, they come with instructions.
They do.
There'd be no fucking way.
Yeah. We don't do Lego yet in our house.
Yeah, well, you're saving yourself some foot injuries with that one.
Is your daughter into it?
Not really, but it's a thing we like to do together occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But the little kids with the Legos, they just tear them apart and you get the little Legos everywhere all over the floor and you step on one barefoot and you're toast, my friend.
I hear you. Lee Leonard says, cliche and cheesy, but my two sons live 2 hours away and I don't get to see them as much as I like. I get that whole week of Christmas. He's six and I get to experience joy as a child once again every
that's
year.
That's lovely.
Best gift ever.
Oh, that's really sweet.
That is very
nice.
It's
not cheesy at all.
Well, that's weird, Noel, because you were just talking on the way in about how you couldn't wait to get rid of your daughter this Christmas.
Yeah, it's true. I just kind of punt her right out the door. Go to Florida. Get ye to Florida.
So not true.
That's not true.
You adore your daughter.
Although I don't have her this Christmas, so now you're really triggering me, Chuck.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, but you're going to have a Christmas on a different day.
It's also her birthday this weekend. Uh-huh. She has a Christmas birthday situation, so we tend to go light on the birthday and a little heavier on the Christmas.
Okay.
Because the Christmas is fun because it's the, you know, the anticipation of the tree and all that business.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's more fun than a birthday, gift-giving situation. Not that she doesn't get anything for her birthday, but
sure.
We tend to, like, weight it a little more towards Christmas.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. I always felt bad for kids who had birthdays around Christmas.
It is a bummer because you know?
You
do clean up more if your birthday's like months and months away from Christmas.
Yeah.
It's really just a financial calculation if we're being honest, you know?
That's right. And I was about to say, what can you do about it? But what you can do is not make love in March or whenever.
Yeah. Well, you know, that ship has sailed, Chuck.
I just counted my fingers. It's about 9 months out.
It's about 9 months out.
I wonder if people think about that stuff. Like, I want to have a summer baby. Or I don't want to have a winter baby because I live in Minnesota. So they plan their pregnancy as best they can.
I always wonder if people ever have kids on purpose.
Very funny. All right, let's do a couple of more here. Our old pal Louis Silva says Air Jordans in high school.
Is that the pumps?
No, I don't think they ever had pumps.
No. I'm thinking of the pumps.
Reebok had pumps.
They were just pumps. And just really quickly, it's a stupid thing, right? Like, it doesn't do anything.
I think it was all pretty much a big scam.
Yeah. And the idea was it would give you
more
bounce or something.
I think it was the idea it just gave a more snug fit because it wouldn't pump the sole. It would pump around the shoe to sort of snug it up on your foot.
But I feel like there was a false perception that it would make you better at basketball.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all a big marketing ploy.
Right.
Yeah. Pump it up. I never had the pumps.
I was a decent
basketball player, though, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you play hoops or did you just?
No, I just like shoes.
Sure.
Yeah. I had Airwalks and skateboard either. I was a total sports poser.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all right. Our oldest of friends, Vanessa Lopez, a huge Redwood swing set in the backyard when I was 10.
Redwood is a brand?
I think the wood was made out of redwood.
Interesting. That's very specific.
Mm, yeah.
I never really think of things being made of redwood.
I know what she's talking about, though. Redwood swing set?
Oh.
Sure. Huh. Just picture it in your brain.
I'm picturing red wood. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Look it up, Noel.
It's a thing. It comes right up.
Look everything
up. It comes right up. It is kind of red.
See?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Why do you think they call it redwood?
I don't know. I just know they're very large trees out in San Francisco.
Oh, little brother. So much to learn.
I know.
Jay Frazier says, anything not plugged in, but I used to and still do love getting tickets to a very close event. Oh, I've never really done that. Like, Merry Christmas, we're going to see Fish.
Sure.
I've definitely never done that.
No? You ever seen Fish?
No.
No? Not a fish guy?
I am not.
A fishy?
Nope.
A fish head?
Are you?
No. Okay. I think they're very talented.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You one of those guys?
Yeah. Trey's a real fine noodler.
All right. I'm not into noodling. Maybe that's the problem.
They do really good cover sets. I will tell you that. I've heard a couple of their, like, they'll do the whole White Album. Whatever, man.
No, that's kind of cool, I guess. But they're the reason that Ween got that big hippie following because they started covering Roses Are Free at their shows.
Of course.
Because I was a Ween fan from the beginning, and I saw the demarcation
the trajectory.
Line.
Yeah.
It was Ween fans were a specific thing, and then I went to one show one time. I was like, who are all these people all of a sudden?
Well, for me, I was into them for years before
crowd.
Ever seeing them live. And the first time I saw them live, it obviously was past that line of demarcation.
Yeah.
And I was sort of confused because I was like, this doesn't compute. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, they got a big hippie following.
They had a big hippie following.
Because that was not Ween.
No, it really wasn't. They were much more, they were like druggy, but not that kind of druggy. They were like sniffing like solvents druggy.
Yeah,
writing
like metal spoofs.
Yeah.
And, it was always a weird thing. I mean, it's the best thing that ever happened to Ween because they went from playing the Earl to the Tabernacle.
Sure.
Because of those people.
And you've seen them live, obviously, many times.
Tons.
I mean, they're a fabulous live band.
Great.
And you wouldn't think that listening to some of their old, weird, you know, like lo-fi kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I saw them when they were two dudes with a drum machine a few times.
Wow.
Which was great, but their band is top notch.
Fantastic,
like always has been.
Yeah,
so they really filled it up.
I've seen them thrice.
All right. Well, let's end this one on a high note.
Yeah,
and just wish everyone happy holidays.
Very respectable time. We're at 33, 44, 45, 46.
That always stresses me out.
Sorry.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Sleep well tonight and dream of us.
Mm-hmm.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.